So, hi, I'm Pierre-Luc Baudouin. I work for Colabra. I've been working for Colabra for over a year on the browser team, where we contribute to WebKit GDK, Qt WebKit, and recently we contributed to Mozilla. So, today I'm going to entertain you about how to contribute to WebKit. But here's the plan of the session. I'm going to talk to you about what is WebKit exactly. What is the project history, how it's designed, and how the project is organized. So first of all, what is WebKit? So unlike the icon suggests, it's not a compass in a box. It's a web rendering engine. So what is a web rendering engine? It's an engine that will download the content, render it, lay it out, decide the styling, execute the JavaScript, and manage the history. But it's not a browser. So you won't find high-level features in WebKit, such as password manager or history searching. This is all implemented in the browser. So WebKit was started years ago as KHTML. It was developed by KDE. Developers, and Apple decided to use it to create WebKit and to create Safari from it. In 2005, Apple decided to make an open source project with it, and so they opened their SVN to the public, and they created the public Boxzilla, and all the developers now are on IRC. From that open code base, Qt WebKit was developed starting in 2006, and WebKit GDK started in July 2007. WebKit, if you get the repository of WebKit, you'll get this. You'll get JavaScript core, web core, and the WebKit folder, which contains the specific port API. And I'm going to go over each section now. JavaScript core, as the name states, is the JavaScript interpreter. It's exactly the same interpreter for every port. The code is non-platform specific, and if so, it's hidden. I never needed to touch it as a WebKit GDK developer, as Apple makes it work for us. The latest one is based on Squirrelfish Extreme, which is this mascot here. It's quite fast. Need I to go through the statistics? I mean, Apple say it's 62 times faster than the previous one. But then, once you're 30 times faster than the previous generation, it doesn't matter much more. You can find the statistics on the blog, on the WebKit blog, if you want. WebCore is responsible for the layout, the styling, the network logic. But there's some platform generic, not platform generic, but platform specific code in WebCore. And the code is all in different objects, so it's rather easy to read. It's not all if-defs for each platforms, although some classes are still like that. And the design is simple. I'll go over that later. WebCore is web standard compliant. That means that it was one of the first browser engines to pass the AC3 test. It supports AC2, of course. It supports NP API plugins. And this is one of the contributions that Colabra gave to WebKit GDK and Qt WebKit. We implemented the support for Flash plugin, for instance. So we're proud of that. WebCore supports CSS transition, which is a proposition made by the Apple developers. This proposition is a way to make simple animations with one line of CSS. For instance, if you want to have a fade out, an object that fades out when you over it, it's one line of CSS. You just need to state the next CSS style and how long is the transition. So I hope this transition will be implemented by other browsers, but it could be, it could prove to be hard to implement, since we've tried, at least on Mozilla, it took us months. But anyway. And the web core is well tested through layout tests, which I'll cover later too. Finally, the third rectangle we had was the WebKit directory, which contains the port specific code. In this directory, you'll find the public API for each of the ports. You'll find the network logic, you'll find the rendering, and you'll find input methods and the history. The history is there for historic reasons, because before WebKit was open sourced, the history was put in that part because that part was closed source. And so nowadays we should move that part back in the core for all ports to share. But that's on the to-do list. One interesting thing here is that each port used its own build system, so you won't feel you will feel at home using AutoTools if you're a GTK developer, or QMake if you're a Qt developer. So let's go over the features of the two ports that interest us today, Qt WebKit and WebKit JDK. Qt WebKit is shipped with Qt since 4.4. It didn't have support for the NP API plugins back then, but it should be available in 4.5, which will be LGPL, as it has been announced last week. It's well integrated into the API, so you can use it as any other widget, so quite easy to use. WebKit JDK, on the other hand, uses the GNOME stack of libraries. You have the choice of libsoup or libcurl for the network backend. You have Cairo for drawing and Pango for the text rendering. It doesn't have support for history yet. Either we'll wait for the core to have it, or we'll have to implement it by ourselves. And unfortunately, it has limited functionality. So WebKit JDK is wonderful if you want to write an application to render HTML, such as DevHelp or Yelp, the Help browser. But it will prove limited in functionality if you want to write a full-fledged browser. For instance, until I think a month ago, it didn't support pop-up blocking or downloading files yet. So it's not ready yet for a browser. But people have been trying. The head of SVN for Epiphany uses WebKit, and there's a Midori, which is another WebKit-based JDK browser. So let's go over what's missing. I think I covered a bit of that. Qt WebKit could use a faster canvas rendering. The WebKit JDK one is quite faster. Both port could use a DOM API. A DOM API is something that will help you interact with the JavaScript and all the object inside the page through your C application or your C++ application. So for instance, if you want to implement a password manager, you would need such API. And it's being worked on for both, so help is needed. There's some missing important features, such as cache, long-term cookies, and history for the WebKit JDK port. So how do you use these into your applications? If you're writing a Qt application, you just create a Q web view, which is a Q widget, and then you load a web page using the load method. Quite simple. Almost the same for WebKit JDK, but it's a WebKit WebView JDK widget. And you open a URI, and then you get the extra execute script, which will allow you to interact with the JavaScript inside your page. But you can't read data back from it, so it's one way only. So this gives you an overview of what is WebKit. Let's go over what to expect when you open the code. You'll get clean code. The process, which I'll cover later, impose a pair review for everything that goes into WebKit. So that means that the code is pretty consistent with itself. No changes of direction in the middle, or and everyone agrees on how to how it should be implemented. You get a modern code base, so you'll, for instance, the code use namespaces, which is quite useful to make meaningful class object class names. Also, you get a simple architecture, as I'll cover later. The designers decided to reuse almost always the same design patterns to make it simple to understand. So they're not reinventing the wheel for each problem. And you'll get helpful people. If you go on IRC, there's always somebody ready to help you. So let's go over the most used design pattern inside WebKit, which is the delegate design pattern. This pattern is a way to delegate decisions to an aggregated object. So if you have a complex, if you have decisions that needs to be done, you can delegate this decision to another object, which could be platform specific. For instance, if we have a frame which contains a page, and if you click on the link, the frame delegate will react to that clicking and will ask the frame delegate client, what should I do? And it will ask the embedding application, is the user allowed to visit another web page, or should I download the file? And then the frame delegate client will send back the answer to the delegate, which will act upon it. So it's quite a useful design pattern, I think, making the platform-specific code elsewhere. Let's go over how you can help. There are many areas of contribution you can help. There's testing, where you can download the nightly builds and test it against your most visited website and see if something breaks. There are still some websites that doesn't work quite well. There's a specific category of bugs in the Bugzilla for that called evangelism, because you often see if the browser is Safari, then say we don't support it, where the page is actually rendering well. It's just that the designer decided to exclude the Safari browser. And so yeah, if you test it, it helps a lot. Of course, contributing code code is the best way to help, because you're directly helping the project. Contributing tests, there's the LIL tests, which are done using the dump render tree. This tool dumps the render tree and compares it with previous builds, where you so when you dump the render tree, you get the rendering that should be done. And if it differs from the previous version, that means there's something broke. Therefore, we can very soon in the process, we can detect if something broke. Also, contributing documentation is always interesting, because WebKit GTK is missing a lot of documentation currently. Now let's go over the process that WebKit enforce. First, you should create a bug or find a bug that you need to fix. Then you assign it to you, and then you work on it, of course. And once you have a fix, you should submit it on the Bugzilla as a patch. And that's where the process gets a bit complex. You should set the review flag, the question mark review flag, on your patch. And that will mark your patch as needs to be reviewed. And a reviewer would get an email, and then we'll review it as soon as possible. And if your work is good, it'll mark it with a plus, and if it's wrong, it will be marked with a minus. So once you got a plus, your code is ready to be merged, which will be done by a committer. So this process highlights different roles, which I'll cover here. You can be a contributor, a Bugzilla helper, a committer, or a viewer. A contributor is anyone contributing to the project. A Bugzilla helper is somebody that helped enough to get rights on the Bugzilla, so you can help with the bug triage or the finding duplicate bugs. once you help it enough, you'll be invited to become a committer. A committer is somebody that can commit to the SVN any patches that got a plus review. And finally, a reviewer is somebody that can give a review of plus or minus. A reviewer is the reviewer can only be invited, or not invited, but the reviewers decide who is going to be the next reviewer. So you get invited to be a reviewer. And as it's written here, you have to submit a fair amount of patches before you're invited to become one. So who are the reviewers and committers in WebKit? It's mostly Apple employees. They are the driving force of the project. They are rewriting what needs to be rewritten and refactoring if needed. For instance, they provided the JavaScript improvements. You will also find Google employees, which are working on Google Chrome. You will find Qt software employees, which work on the Qt port. And you will find a lot of other contributors, which are working on different ports and submitted enough work to become a reviewer. So from that, where to start? Join us on IRC. You can find bugs on the Bugzilla. You can find mailing lists on the website. And there's a planet where many blogs are aggregated. And of course, don't hesitate to ask questions, because we're here to help you. Would you have any today? There's at least 50% working on WebKit, and a good part of them are Apple employees. So the question was, how many person are actively participating to the project? Other questions? Yes? MyDory is one of the first that has been created to use WebKit JDK. Aurora started as the Qt the Qt launcher that we used to debug, and then they built a complete demonstration for it. Then later it became a real browser because it's feature complete. So it's its own project now. Their own web. Yeah, if you want to test these, you have to either get them from the code repository. Yeah, they're the most complete. These are the three most complete browser for WebKit. Is that? Yeah, that's a problem. WebKit JDK doesn't have lots of release. So you'll have So your question was WebKit JDK suffered from some sort of API freeze. So for a long time, nobody wanted to break the API. And now there's a reviewer that has been contributing more work, and there should be changes to the API which will help Midori to improve, but I can't comment on the how frequent should be the releases, because it's let's say it's missing leadership right now. Other questions? Google? Okay. How much work did Google contribute upstream? I didn't check really, but I think they've been contributing a lot, because their Google Chrome employees have been there for a good year, or maybe two even, because One interesting fact is when Google Chrome has been announced, they submitted a patch to the SVN, to the WebKit code, which was actually changing all the change logs, because they had been using fake names for over 2 years. And then they used the real names in the change log now. So they've been contributing for a long time. It was just hidden. So quite funny, yeah. But so I was wondering, who is this guy who appears to know everything in WebKit, but as like is completely anonymous, like at webkit.org email address. But now they use Google Chrome or Google .com addresses. So yeah, they did contribute a lot, improving WebKit or maybe making changes they needed for their use. Yes?
As a company exerts over the project, I mean, it seems like there's a natural tension between Apple and Safari and Google and Chrome. Does that come out of the developer community, or is that mostly?
Okay, so the question is there any tension between the Apple developers and, well, I mean, between the developers, because they seem to have the hold of the project? I'd say no, because everything is open. I mean, the Bugzilla is there, the community is there. We all work together to make it better. If Apple makes a change, they'll make sure that the other ports still builds. So I think it's no. I haven't seen any animosity or anything. We work together. Yes. No. Every day there are commits, and it's incremental and. It's not they're not dumping changes that breaks everything. But I mean, sure, but they're not. They don't. We can see things coming. Like it's not. If they're, although I didn't see the squirrel fish extreme come, but they did everything so that everything works after that. Would you like to comment?
So for now, they are doing most of the work, so they are about to control
them. So yeah, the Apple employees are former open source contributors. So they are very interesting that they have interest that the other ports work. Other questions? Yes?
Do you know what the state of HTML5 video support is?
Do you mean the HTML5 video? Okay. I would have to check. The question is, what is the status of HTML5 video support in WebKit? It works perfectly in the Mac port because they've written the support, of course, using QuickTime. I act a bit on the WebKit GTK part. It uses GStreamer as a back end. It needs love. Let's be fair with it. You get probably 5 frames a second right now, and some websites won't play at all. So I'm unaware if Qt WebKit has anything to support it. But the code is there. The engine is ready to get some love to support it more. Because I mean, the classes and everything, the support is there. It's just that the port doesn't implement what it's needed. Other questions? Well, thank you for listening.